is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Good evening. How are you? Nice to be here. 6 minutes past nine, live and direct from the Much Music buildings, not the cool bit where the sexy people hang out, the dodgy bit around the back here on ish Queen Street in the heart of Toronto. I started strong, put myself down straight away. Let's do it again. Live from the Much Music buildings, the sexy bit, the bit where the cool DJs hang out, where Elliot pressed buttons and we review the news of the week and probably a bit of titillation as well, I should assume. My name is Vinny White. I'm with you for an hour. What do you need to know? Twitter and all that stuff, into that, are you? Like a bit of the old social shenanigans? Troll me at Twitter. Vinny White is the name, the handle, I believe the cool kids are saying. You can also find me on the Book of Faces at Vinny White. You can also phone the show on 416 872 1010 or Star Talk 8255 on your cell phone. And should you have one of those newfangled technologies that is a cell phone, jolly clever things that they are too, you can text the show on 71010. Pops up on a screen in front of me. And if it's comedic or a good point, or just not completely insane, then there's a good chance I'll read it out. Unfortunately, we do seem to attract the insane. I think that might just be talk radio in general, globally. The presenters sometimes. Not sure about the case here. Make your own mind up. You've got yourself an hour. Have you had a good week? Is everything okay? That's my first question. Are you all right? Are you okay? Calm down! Just weird, isn't it, this week? I don't normally talk about them, but they won't go away. Those Ford brothers, they won't go. It's whack-a-mole with those guys. Pop one down for being usually mildly racist or verbally abusive. The other one pops up, does the same thing. Pop one down, other one pops up. Do you remember those... when I was a kid, we used to have a weather prediction system where it was a small shed made of wood. I believe it was bought somewhere in an alpine region, such as Switzerland. And the small shed of wood had two characters. And one character was out, the other one was in. You couldn't have them both out at the same time. It was almost like a seesaw. And the man had an umbrella and the woman had, like, she was basking. She looked like she was hot. And the idea was that if the man's popped out, it's going to rain tomorrow. And then if the woman's popped out, it's probably going to be nice. So it was a very sort of comedic and chirpy bit of tat that one might buy from the Alps to predict the weather. I assume there was a barometer of some description inside. I don't know. Could have been black magic. Didn't work. Didn't really matter. That is the Ford brothers, isn't it? One's in, the other one's out. One comes out, the other one comes in. And but they don't predict the weather. They just talk complete crap, don't they? I mean, come on. Doug Ford completely and fully apologised this week to the police chief here in Sicily. Sorry, Toronto. It's difficult to know.
It's all very like this. You know what I'm saying? You respect me, you respect the family. We're going to put it behind us. We're going to move forward. That's what we do. Black is white. White is black. No one's going to argue with us. It's what we do.
I don't know where Doug Ford's from or how many smokes, but it would appear that way. No, of course, the other Ford, I think his name is Rob. He's been in the press just a bit over the last couple of years. Said some fantastically comedic stuff this week. Not intentional. He's the funniest man I've ever met that wasn't trying to be funny. Rob Ford said this week, this was a classic. Did you hear this? He said, and when I do this, I'm actually going to tell the complete truth. This is word for word. I've got it written down here. Every day, people come to me and say, Rob, what's the number one issue? And I say, it's the economy, it's jobs, it's property taxes, it's transit. Can you see where he's gone wrong already? Also, do people say that? Do they really? Every day. Rob? What's the number one issue? They don't. I usually hurl abuse at you. But anyway, he said, every day people come to me and they say, Rob, what's the number one issue? And I say, it's the economy, it's jobs, it's property taxes, it's transit. Then he said, and this is cataclysmically gold. I don't know if it gets better than this. But folks, it's the economy and jobs. If you cannot leave your house to go and look for a job, what's the sense in having transit? If you cannot leave your house to go and look for a job, then what's the sense in having transit? Good point. Great point. Good thinking. I don't know, so you could go and look for a job, or perhaps, don't know, take your mum to hospital, or go and get that bit for your toilet that broke that you need to go and fix, you know, or 156,000 other reasons that we need transit, you muppet! It's been in since he said it, and I tried to get it out on Facebook. It's not the same typing. Sometimes you've got to shout. I've been thinking about, I live in a small apartment, and I've been thinking about buying a bath just to fill it up with water so that when Rob Ford says something, I can just go and put my head in it and go, because it's got to come out, and I don't feel it's entirely fair to do it on the radio here because you have to listen to it. It's not right, is it? Immigrants coming over here, taking our jobs with their silly accents and then saying stuff that's inflammatory about a man that is absolutely bonkers. Nutter. He's an absolute nutter. Anywho, that's that. Coming up on the show, put that one to bed before the phones start ringing in his defence. Hey, he's a man of the people. Yeah. Just like all millionaires. So I would like to say there's loads of good stuff coming up. I mean, I'd like to say that. It's complete lies, obviously, but that's what I'd like to say. We're going to talk about Pastafarianism. What's that, you say? It's the religion of pasta. If you believe in the flying spaghetti monster and you want to wear a colander on your head, then you may well be a Pastafarian. Last week, you may remember that we had a lovely girl called Alicia in, and she was a waitress that I apparently didn't give a very good tip to some time ago. She came into the studio last week and I asked her to go away and find the original receipts from the restaurant a year ago so we can find out exactly what this British guy did tip. And yes, we're usually tight. And yes, we've got bad teeth. Stop it. It's racist. but mildly true. Yeah, we don't tip that much. But she argues that I didn't give... I think she said I gave almost no tip. I argue no. I gave a reasonable tip, albeit not 15%. So she's gone away and found the bills, and we're going to give her a call later and continue the dispute. There is, I think this is part three in an ongoing chapter that me and her, and possibly two or three other people, care about. Always good to sell it. So I had possibly the weirdest experience of my time here in Toronto yesterday, and I want to tell you that about that. So I was a bit late for work. I run a company. It's called MrPhotoCanvas.com. Do you need your photograph on a canvas? Then visit Toronto's number one, MrPhotoCanvas.com. Subtle? I run that company and I had to go in to print canvases. That's what I do. Someone's got to do it. And if it's Christmas coming up, gift idea. Just saying. Well, Costco think Christmas is coming up. They put their Christmas stuff up this week. Ridiculous. Won't be going there. Anyway, I went to work yesterday and I was in a bit of a rush, but it wasn't that bad a thing. I had a meeting with a client about something, printing a canvas, funnily enough. And I live in Parkdale. Well, you may be aware that Parkdale has two sections. There's the groovy, sexy bit full of hipsters and the bit full of people with questionable mental health issues. Guess where I live? And so I had to go from there to work. And my other work, like my proper job that makes me huge, oh no, some money. And so I was going to get a streetcar. Right, I'm dragging this out. I haven't even got to the juicy bit yet. Standing there on the corner of King Street, and I'm looking for the next streetcar. And I've got one of those apps that takes about 3 to 4 hours to load, then crashes. And by that time, you can see the streetcar in front of you. It's more of a time-passing entertainment value than anything else. So I was trying to find out when the next streetcar would be coming along, and there wasn't any coming. And so streetcars, by the way, we have done a whole show on. I could easily do another one. Let's leave it. But one came along. If you're not familiar with what a streetcar is, it's essentially an elongated bumper car and is just slightly less efficient. And I was waiting for one of those to come along. And, of course, the app said, no, nothing here. But no, did I look up, and the weirdest thing happened. A streetcar from 1920 came down the street. Now, when I say that, I know it's really easy to be deflammatory to the current streetcars that look like they're from 1920. But this one was like, oh no, that one's from 1920. For a start, it's gold. And that doesn't happen all the time, right? And had loads of beautiful ornate bits over it. You might have seen it cruising about. So I thought, it's a bit weird. Don't know if it's going to pick me up. I don't know if it's some sort of I don't know, can you rent a streetcar? I don't know how it works. So I hung about. I thought, might stop, stick my leg out, see what happens. It stopped, got on, and it was possibly the weirdest moment ever, actually. The streetcar driver was in proper 1920s gear. And I thought, you know, I didn't pay the 1920s price, unfortunately. But I paid for my wee ticket, which I would imagine looks the same now as it did in 1920s. A small scrap of paper with absolutely no information on it that anyone can understand. And then he gave me that and I went and sat down. Now, it was already quite weird to be on a streetcar from the 1920s. What was really weird, and I mean really weird, is everyone on the streetcar was wearing 1920s clothing. So there was flappers at the back and sort of more conducive, reasonable couples chatting at the front. And I'm like, oh my God, I must be on drugs. Oh God, what have I taken? What was in that banana? So I sit down and they're all proper in character. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm wearing jeans and a shirt. And you can see them looking at me as if to say, what on earth is this man wearing? And they're really well spoken, as if they were in the 20s. And they were discussing things like where they were going. And it turned out that a lot of them were going to the moving pictures. So I'm proper freaked out now. I don't know what's going on. There's no one else wearing Western clothing on, well, should I say Western? I mean, you know, today's clothing. And the first thing that this guy said with his arm around his wife, who had sort of hair as if she was just about to go do this in Charleston, said, where are you from? And I said, I'm from near London. When are you from? Which I thought was a good question. He said, here in Toronto. No, I was like, I'm really proud of that question, but you somewhat missed it. I said, when are you from? He said, well, what do you mean? It's 1922. So I'm like, so now I'm in a conversation with this bloke and his wife, and there's another girl who looks similar to the Charleston flappers at the back who's jumped in as well. And they're like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to work. And they said, how did you get to this country? I said, on a plane. And they said, but what does that mean? And I thought, oh, good point. That's not been, it's not around yet, is it? So I find myself having, genuinely, this happened to me yesterday, a proper conversation with a flapper and a couple about the fact that it's 1922. And in a few years' time, the Wright brothers will invent an enormous metal bird. I wanted to call it a plane, but they played their cut part so well that when I said plane, they said, what on earth's a plane? And that sort of mildly British accent that was more attached to Canada in the 20s. So I'm like checking myself now. I'm thinking, right, what's going on? Turns out, as I look a bit closer, there's a film crew. So that sort of justifies it. But it's still weird. I look up, there's adverts in the streetcar for Vaseline, typewriters, Brill cream, Tate and Lyle sugar, all the things that one would expect if it was 1922. So I just went, got stuck into it. Thought, can't beat them, can't join them. Now, I made a very small film on my phone, which is not going to be great for the radio, but I just wanted to play you a tiny bit because I thought, there's no way that this is happening. So if I film it and then play it to my listeners, then hopefully I'll prove that I'm not as insane as I think I may be becoming. So here's a bit of the audio. This is one of the girls who's wearing 1920s dress from head to toe and a small hat. She's probably about nine, so that's even more freaky because... How is she a good actress? I didn't know you could do that when you were nine. And this is her asking me a question.
In your country, do you have such thing called moving pictures?
We do have moving pictures. I think they're invented in America, but it's coming to the United Kingdom.
And what is it called?
The movies. Yeah, moving pictures, you see. It's terribly clever.
So they just carried on. And then the next thing I know, I've got some woman, who's, again, a flapper, has pressed a clipboard and a pen into my hand and says, can you sign this release form? All right, right, what's going on? It's proper freaking me out now. And it turns out it was an advert for I can't see the relevance, but I'll tell you anyway. It was an advert for Mini. You know their campaign, it's a mini adventure. I assume that I'll be on the ad. It's a claim to fame, isn't it? It is so weird. I don't do drugs. I used to have the odd joint. And then I got old and a bit paranoid about it. Don't like it. If I'd have just thought yesterday, going to work, it's a bit boring, I'll just have a quick bong. And then that happened. That's it, lads. Well, you're not coming back from that. Oh, it's so weird. But it's really good. So if you were on the streetcar yesterday, can I just say thank you? Actually, give me a quick call, 416-872-1010, if you know what that was about, because it was so funny. So if you're involved in that project, give me a quick call, 416-872-1010. Perhaps you can shed some light on what the hell happened to me yesterday. But a beautiful, wonderful morning. And it's times like that. I got to work. I was late. The client was upset. But it's times like that. I think, I love this city. I really do. You know, I love madness, oddity, and just, what? Who? I want every day to be like that. I want to be Alice in Wonderland. When we come back, we talk to a woman who says, incorrectly of course, that I don't give a good tip, and we'll put her over the coals and see what's going on. We're going to talk about Pastafarianism, and we'll talk about the best way to give a proposal. There was a very good man today. Is that cool for us? Is that one someone from the project? I think we might have someone that knows about it. Just give me a minute. Okay, I'll put them on before we take a break. No? No, they're a nutter. Oh, God bless the nutters. They make the world go round. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the most ridiculous sailing expedition of all time. It's a great rescue of this incompetent buffoon that decided to try to sail from the UK to the US. Didn't get far. All that coming up. You're listening to News Talk 1010.
You're tuned in to the Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio. News Talk 1010.
Better. Evening all. Nice to see you. It's not entirely true because I can't see you, but it's nice to know of your presence and to feel you. Not in that way. I'm just, oh, whatever. 416-872-1010. Text the show on 71010. Whatever you want, really. I don't know. We should probably ask a question. Oh, yeah, I was going to talk. If we get time later, I'm going to talk about proposals. So did your partner propose to you? And if so, how did they do it? Was it smooth? Was it good? Text your proposals to 71010. When I say that, I don't mean to text a proposal. Text your stories of proposals. Unless you really love me and you're really rich, then go for it. I'll probably say yes. Right, let's go to this this ongoing argument here, which we will rectify right here, right now, in the court of order that is News Talk 1010. 1 year ago, I was in a restaurant. That restaurant had a built-in tip for large parties, as most restaurants do. I believe personally, that I gave a tip that was extraordinarily close to the 15% of the tip that was built in. But it wasn't quite. It wasn't quite because I didn't have the right change. And it would have been awkward to break a 20 for the extra, I think, dollar and a half. So my tip, even though it was a built-in 15% tip, I believe my tip was more like 13, 14%. Yes, naughty boy, terrible. Oh, aren't I awful. But it's built in and it's still voluntary. It says that. So that was that. The waitress came over and said, is there a problem? And I said, well, no, it's fine. It's just I didn't want to give the whole tip. I don't have the change. And she said, well, I can get you the change. And I said, but I believe we're having a dispute over a dollar or so. And she said, well, I don't think so. And I said, I think we are. And then it got quite escalated. And to this day, I haven't said this to anyone that I don't know. I actually told her to F off. It's pretty intense, isn't it? Which I think is quite brash and not entirely correct and certainly not gentlemanly. So for that, I do regret it. But she was driving me insane. A year later was last week. I was in a restaurant and I wanted to give a table to some girls that were looking for a table. And I said, why don't you sit here? And we got chatting to them as they took our seats. And she said, I know you. I remember you. You're the guy that didn't tip me. And I said, whoa, don't say I didn't tip, because I tipped, just didn't give the full 15%, because a bit short, couldn't be bothered with the dollar. She said, no, you didn't tip me, or if you did, it was pathetic. So I said, right, come on my radio show and say that. And she did, which I didn't really expect. Won't be doing that again. And so then she came on last week. And our conclusion was, right, we can't do anything until we know what happened with the bill. So go back to the restaurant that you don't even work at anymore, get the bill, look at it, tell me what it was, we'll work it out. And if I was short, if I was a naughty boy, I will buy you dinner. And if I wasn't short, or if I was like a buck and it's not worth arguing about, which is what I think, then you can buy me dinner, damn it. Well, her name is Alicia and she joins us on the phone now. Hello, Alicia.
Hi.
Was that a reasonable repertoire of our dealings?
Yeah, I would say it's pretty accurate.
Now, I have to give you your due diligence because this week you did go back to the restaurant on foot and dig out the bill from last July and actually found out sort of-ish a conclusion. So, what is it?
Well, the conclusion was you left, I believe you left less than 10%. But it was a couple dollars, so both of us were right. You thought you had left only 13%. I figure it's under 10%.
Under, really? Are we talking sort of 8 or 9? Because that is a bit tight.
You know, the bill was $37.99 with the autograt. I believe you left 35, which would be $3 less, which would be well under 10%.
But the thing is, as obviously a taxpaying citizen of Canada and someone that puts all their tips through, you'll have a record of the exact tip that I gave, won't you, Alicia?
No, because it was an autograt. So according to the bill, it would have assumed that you paid $37.99. Mm. So that's what I would have paid tax on. Is that amount, not the actual amount that you gave me.
But we don't know, and the thing is, I can't prove it, and this is where it sort of let us down, isn't it? We don't know for sure that I didn't have $35 and a $2 coin. And I thought, wow, that's pretty damn close.
I don't think so. I think you had bills.
So, this was a few days ago that we discovered this, and then we said we'll do a deal. So, because it's still quite inconclusive, and evidently we always will be, we said, right, why don't we go out for this dinner? And then when it comes to the bill at the end of our dinner, we'll toss a coin, right?
Yeah.
And you, clearly a stubborn vixen of a woman, said, heads, I'm going to be heads and I'll say that now. So it came to the end of the dinner and the coin was tossed and it was the coin was tossed even. And it was tails, which meant that essentially I was in a situation where I didn't have to pay. But what did old Vinny do? What did he do?
He paid half.
Thank you very much indeed.
A little less than half.
It was actually a little less.
It was a lot less than half.
But what I like about this is, and I genuinely mean this, and I don't usually be sincere, a year ago, I told you to F off. We had a dispute. I shouted at you and you shouted at me back. You called your manager over to get involved. It was horrible. And now I think you're my friend.
I would agree.
Are we friends or are you just saying this for the sake of radio?
No, I would say we're friends.
So the lesson for everyone there is, Canadians, stop being polite. Just tell everyone of the opposite sex to F off. And in the end, you'll be mates with them anyway. Yeah. Thank you for being such a good sport. And now you're my friend. I will buy you things in the future as I do with all my friends. Thank you.
Perfect.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about tips?
No, I think you summed it up.
This is your platform to tell people to tip more. You may want to use it.
Yeah, well, people need to tip more. 18% minimum.
What's that, 12%?
18.
12 it is. Okay, love. Take care. See you later.
Bye.
So you heard it there. It was an absolute fact. She definitely said 12's good. What is it? America? I mean, come on. God, the America. It's like New York. New York, right? The other day, I wasn't there, but my friend was. And phone, glamorous story. The other day, my friend was in New York. And you know when you get out of a cab in New York, it says, if you pay by card, which increasingly most people do now, I'd say, it says, do you want to add a tip? Well, it says you have to add a tip. And the denominations are 20. It starts there. 20%, 25, and 30%. What's that about? Might as well put another button. A Ferrari. Your children. Give it away. He's only driving about. I know it's a tough gig, but come on. I've got to get by, you know. 30? Forget it. If that happens in Canada, I'm moving. Go back. I'm going to move to Eastern Europe. You don't even have to bother there. Western Europe, arguably, is a lot less. What's going on? Right. Got a weird text here. Could you please yell 180? Thanks, Robert. Anyone know what that means? Don't know why. If you could explain why, I'll do it. Don't like that I'm now becoming the voice of yelling. It's like a modern day version of the fella with the pointed hat. When we come back, we talk about Pastafarianism. We are going to talk a fantastic story of a bungled attempt to sail from the UK to the US. And we're also going to look at the worst mashups and best mashups of all time. All that coming up, News Talk 1010. In-depth radio News Talk 1010. My name is Vinnie White. You can download the podcast at vinniewhite.co.uk. If you like, weird spelling, V-I-N-N-E-Y. Don't know why. Real name Vincent, if you care. Did you know that, Elliot?
I didn't.
Yeah. Not that interesting, but there you go. Vinnie White's the name. I love this story so much. There's some things. It's very easy for me to constantly poke at the Americans, because they are, well, they're just a bit American. But every now and then you get someone in the UK that's an absolute muppet as well. I love this guy. A man attempted to sail from the United Kingdom to the USA in possibly the worst planned trip ever. A man has been rescued 5 miles off the Dorset coast while attempting to sail to America in a $500 dinghy. He's a 30-year-old man. He's a Bulgarian national and he bought a 14-foot vessel. Think about that. 14-foot. It's not massive. From the harbour in southern England on Saturday, and then he went to set off on his 3,500-mile voyage across the Atlantic. What could possibly go wrong? Passing yachtsmen raised the alarm after spotting him looking seasick in choppy water just off the coast of Bournemouth, a few miles down the coast from where he started. The man who was alone on the sailing dinghy refused help when a lifeboat arrived and kept saying, "I'm going west! I'm going west!" Lifeboat crewman Pete Dads, 41, said the dinghy was taking on water and the man would have died if he hadn't have been rescued. The man was not wearing a life jacket. His his boat had no lights and his only navigational aid was a street map of Southampton. I love him. The dinghy was taking on lots of water when the rescuers arrived. Aside from that, he did have a passport containing a US visa. He had hot dogs, baked beans, and a bag of cookies. When he reached the gentleman, he didn't want us there. He said, "I'm going to carry on my way," said the rescuers. We were not leaving him out there. He kept saying, I'm going west. His boat was not properly rigged. It was getting battered. It was at the mercy of the elements. We said, if we leave you here, you will die. He didn't have a life jacket, just a buoyancy aid. But the vessel, as I said, didn't have any lights. Oh, there's no chance he would have kept going for much longer, said the crew. When he refused any help. They ended up sort of kidnapping him and throwing him into the boat. When he got to shore, he had the first signs of hypothermia and his boat was nearly capsized. Oh, and we thought Alicia was stubborn. I mean, that is beautiful. Oh, I don't know why I love that so much. I think I just like people that are stubborn and want to go, be all right, just getting across the Atlantic. Pastafarianism now, an unusual religious headwear battle, has hit a boiling point in BC, where a Pastafarian is fighting for his right to wear a colander on his head in his driving licence. Now, if you haven't heard of Pastafarianism, I love it. It's brilliant. It's people that believe in the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. They believe that a spaghetti monster created Earth, I think it was 6,000 years ago, which is, I would say, slightly less ridiculous than the belief in creationism. And I think that might be their point. But surely this man can choose the religious headgear that he wants for his religion. And if he wants to have it taken as a photograph in British Columbia on his driving licence, then that should be the case.
When Obi Canuel went to ICBC to renew his driver's license, he wore a pasta strainer on his head.
I was asked to remove it, and I did explain that it was my religious headgear.
Yep, he said religious headgear. Kanuel is a Pastafarian.
Pastafarians believe that the earth was created by the flying spaghetti monster. I guess he just touched me with his noodly appendage.
Last November, his driver's license photo was taken with the colander on his head.
It's just a strainer to remind us all that...
I've got a pad for a bit because we're having the world's weirdest technical fault. Apparently Cher has broken into the studio because she hasn't had much limelight recently and is making a desperate attempt at a comeback over talk radio. Because I believe that was I Believe in Life After Love. And it's got nothing to do with the Church of the Spaghetti Monster. But why wouldn't that happen? When I get on a streetcar from the 1920s, why would I ever do a radio show and it actually work? Yeah, and the actual audio to be good. Cher just comes in, flaunting herself about, probably with her legs akimbo, a giant gun, as was the case in one of her music videos some years ago. Although, nice legs, let's be honest. Have you fixed it? All right, just take it back just a wee bit and we'll carry on from where we were.
Was created by the flying spaghetti monster. I guess he just touched me with his noodly appendage.
All right.
Last November, his driver's license photo was
just stop it a sec, sorry. Just because it's a bit weird radio. So, where were we? We were talking about Pastafarianism. I just want to wrap it back up again. This is the guy that in BC that wants to wear a colander on his head. Okay? All right, hit it.
It isn't exactly mainstream.
When Obi Kanuel went to ICBC to renew his driver's license, he wore a pasta strainer on his head.
I was asked to remove it, and I did explain that it was my religious headgear.
Yep, he said religious headgear. Kanuel is a Pastafarian.
Pastafarians believe that the earth was created by the flying spaghetti monster. I guess he just touched me with his noodly appendage.
Last November, his driver's license photo was taken with the colander on his head.
It's just a strainer to remind us all that he boiled for our sins.
After a 9-month wait, he got a letter from ICBC denying him a photo license because he couldn't prove the strainer is a religious requirement.
Sometimes I have the spiritual inkling to wear my colander, right? Yeah. And I don't think I don't think ICBC should be making decisions about, you know, what kind of religious headgear is appropriate or not.
Hey.
Pastafarianism is practiced the world over, and other followers have worn colanders in their driver's license photos. This town councillor in Pomfret, New York, was sworn in wearing one on his head.
It's a parody religion. It's satire.
Created in 2005 as a response to some American schools teaching creationism.
People have challenged and won the right to wear the colander on their head in official photographs because they felt that atheists should have the same rights as people who practice religion.
The photo of Kanuel with a pasta strainer on his head was approved for his new BC services card.
They didn't give me a clear answer why it was good for one and not the other.
ICBC wants him to come in for a new photo without the colander, but he's not giving up the fight or his religion.
We like to make spaghetti.
Shannon Patterson, CTV News, Vancouver.
I love him. I really do. I think he's brilliant. I might join in Pastafarianism. And it doesn't matter if it's a joke or not. It is, but it doesn't really matter. The issue is, should we allow government agents to determine which religions, or lack thereof, are legitimate? And I think no. I think as long as headgear does not interfere with positively identifying the wearer from the resulting identification photograph, it should be acceptable to wear, if other faiths can, and they can. So I'm down with it. Bring it on. Colander on. Spaghetti-tastic. Otherwise, we could be on our way to a full-blown theocracy where religious sensibilities determine the laws of the land. I don't think it's that Canadian, though. What about a hockey puck on the head? Let's be honest, hockey is a religion in this country. Do it. Pop one up there. Or you could use one as a lip plate, mimicking some African tribes. Chucking it out there. I say brilliant. Good for him. And actually, have you ever talked to creationists or looked at that museum in Kentucky, the Creationist Museum? Oh my God! Pun intended. Oh my word. What a bunch. Quite a lot of scientific evidence to suggest the Earth's millions of years old. It's really hard to be that narrow-minded and close-minded to think that it was all invented in 7 days, what was it, 3,000 years ago? Like, as if we were in the Middle Ages. It's all right. But how is anyone still thinking that now? If you're a creationist, phone in using a device called a telephone, which will sort of teleport you from one place to another by the power of God. 416-872-1010. Don't think we've got a big creationist following, to be honest. News Talk 1010. It's not really our thing. Maybe some bloke called Noah. Right. This week's Madman. We need a jingle for this. You know, every week we've got some sort of... Can you do some sort of sting of music? Maybe some sort of news bed? Could you organise that? I love doing this to Elliot. No doubt Cher will pop back up as an unwanted visitor. Can we have some sort of, I don't know, newsy bed type thing? Honestly, I don't know why I don't do this myself. I could run round there, find a news bed, pop it on, get myself back here and stand in this sexy stance talking complete rubbish. And have you got one?
Do you want just any music?
Yeah, any music will do. Madman in America news. Go. Interesting choice. Sledgehammer, apparently. Right, that'll do, whatever. So, yeah, next week, it's going to be a lot more professional next week. We'll make a proper jingle. Because what I want to do, so you know, we'll have an off-air, on-air meeting now, Elliot. What I want to do for next week, I want something that goes, bum, 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 ba, this week's Madman in the US. Something like that. All right? Probably should have organised it earlier. But nice choice on the Gabriel. That'll do. Man arrested, charged with spitting blood at deputy. Yeah, this is this week's Madman in the US. Authorities arrested a naked man. Common theme with all of these. They're always naked. Bless him. That's what happens when you repress a culture. Let it all hang out. The authorities arrested a naked man on a busy road who now faces several charges after reportedly spitting blood at a law enforcement officer. Keeping it classy. Deputies received a disturbance call this week in reference to a man wearing no clothes on Carolina Beach Road near Monkey Junction shortly after noon on Saturday. Sheriff's deputies arrived and found Chase Bow. Nice. And they say he was heavily under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Was he? There's a shocker. Bo also had a self-inflicted stab wound on his leg. Deputies transported Bo to the hospital, where he was quickly released and taken to jail. Nice day out. Bo is now behind bars, facing charges for indecent exposure, resisting arrest, and other charges for allegedly spitting blood at a deputy. Keeping it classy. But what I like about that is that was Saturday night. Let's say he comes out this week and he has dinner with his mum. What did you do on Saturday afternoon, Chase? I was wandering down the beach, thinking about the beauty of the world, when I suddenly felt terribly bored at the sheer monotony of life. Oh, sorry to hear that. What did you do? I went to a place called Monkey Junction, got naked, stabbed myself in the leg. When the cops arrived, I spat blood at them. It's a day out. Yeah, we all do it. The day will come when you find yourself standing naked under the midday sun on a road near Monkey Junction. And when that day comes, and it most definitely will for all of us, try not to spit blood at a police officer. Just a suggestion. Right, I'd like to talk about... Have we got time? Yeah, I think so. I'd like to talk about mashups now. The mashup theme has been taking over the world, and I'm a DJ in my spare time. I know there's this, but it's not really DJing. So sometimes I like to give it a bit of the old wiggy, 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 wah, etc. on my turntables. And of late, I've found some fantastic and some appalling mashups. So I thought tonight we will look at the best and the worst mashups of recent times and see if you can spot the creative genius or horrific creative process that has come together to do the following mashups. We've got about 5, 6, 7, 8 or so. And we'll start with an okay one. We'll start with something in the middle of the road. I think we'll go for Virgin O'Reilly. I don't know if Madonna is happy about it, or if The Who are happy about it, or they're both appalled. But that's a pretty good start. Let's keep it really good. This is one of my favourites. This is My Paperback Sharona, the Beatles and the Knack coming together to make this absolute epic. Back right, back right, back right. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's cool to like it, but I really like it. So that's the good. Now, there must be some terrible ones. Oh, my God. If you listen very closely, you can hear the sound of John Lennon revolving in his grave at about 3,000 RPM when they ruin, and I mean ruin, Imagine, by adding wings. Oh. Talk 1010, the Vinnie White Show, playing some of the best and worst mashups of all time, and that quite firmly definitely gets wedged into the worst. Let's go back to some good now. What would happen if you got the Police and sort of rubbed a bit of Dire Straits around them? Across the States in a convertible, kicking that out. It's beautiful. The Police meets Dire Straits with I Can't Stand the Sultans of Swing is the name of the track. Beautiful. From there, let's go back to the awful. I'm going to save the worst one to last, by the way. You won't believe what they've done. Oh, it's so bad. Your ears might bleed. But first, let's check out another quite bad one. This is Queens of the Stone Age versus Imagination. Oh, what could possibly go wrong there? So far, so good. It's probably going to be really good, isn't it? Yeah! Let's see. We get some rules to follow. That are this, these and those. So slow, isn't it? So pat, so bad. Yeah. Just get the chorus because it actually gets worse. If you can get that far with it. Oh, hold your hand. Come on. Body talk. There we go. It gets worse. Oh. No one knows. It's like when you're waiting, you know, when you're in a restaurant and you can hear one track through one ear and another track through the other because some Muppet hasn't noticed that they've got two speakers that are playing independent. It's a little bit like that, but slightly worse. When we come back, we're going to do... we've got to do another break. Damn commercials paying my wages. All right, it'll be a really quick break. Then we're going to come back with a good, a great, and then a bloody awful. All that coming your way on News Talk 1010. Vinnie White with you, 3 till 10, which isn't that far away, so let's continue where we were. Sorry about the old ad breaks, but, you know, it's how radio works, really, isn't it? You can't not do them. It's just the way things are, man. You know, you can listen to the podcast, but I would encourage you to be here. It's more scintillating when you're here. Me and Elliot holding you close, you tiny dancer. From there, we were doing mashups. Let's get back to it. There's no more breaks now. So we're going to do a good, we're going to do a great, and then I thought I'd save the worst, and it is the worst till last. Mashups, good. What would happen if you got a 90s pop act CC Peniston and mashed it up with a bit of Sex Pistols? This. Yeah! Tonight, which is Peggy Lee and Iggy Pop. This is brilliant. Because we're running out of time, I want to save the worst till last, perhaps to leave the show on a negative vibe, as is such often the case, a bitter disappointment of a radio programme. It does not get worse than this.
Say your prayers, it's a one. Don't forget my son, to include everyone. I tuck you in, all within, keep you free from sin, till the Sandman he comes.
Ruin and arguably destroy in every possible way. It gives you shudders. I don't know if the original guy that came up with the Magnum theme tune or Metallica heard that. I can't see how they wouldn't fling themselves off a building. Sorry to leave on such a negative note. It's always a pleasure. It's never a chore. My name is Vinnie White. You can download the podcast from vinniewhite.co.uk. Do stay tuned to News Talk 1010 as programming continues, and mighty fine programming it is too. See ya. We'll be right back.